you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'll tell you, I am fired up today because how about them Bears?
Dan Wiederer
from the Chicago Tribune again.
Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
Your boy Dan Wiederer was on the radio last week with Speaks. Mm-hmm.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
I've said this before, playing quarterback in the NFL is a lot like marriage. It's not about being a hero all the time. It's about limiting your mistakes. And if you do make a mistake, make sure it's not a catastrophic one.
We want it to be a fast Friday and a fast focus Friday.
Dan Wiederer.
His name is Dan Wiederer. Wiederer time.
Bears.
The Take the North pod.
Dan Wiederer talks football with you.
This segment with Dan Wiederer is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4 Seasons.
Those of you watching on Twitch just saw Robbie Triano bringing Lawrence Holmes his tea, as this is the kind of servitude that the afternoon show is all about, Dan. This is what we're all about, is making the producers, you know.
I didn't make Robbie go get it. I just left it outside.
He made the tea. Robbie went to Asia and harvested the tea leaves.
I'm the tea guy.
Put it in a bag himself, boiled the water himself with a hot pot that he keeps there in the control room, and brought Lawrence's tea. How's your afternoon going, Dan?
Yeah, I think Grody is squeezing the honey into my tea a couple rooms over right now as we speak. So I should be getting the same type of service here real soon.
From Matt Eberflus's bees, as we've tied the room all the way together.
Now we've brought the whole thing together.
Thanks very much.
This has been a week of reflection, and you did it in your column, Dan. A reflection on how we got here as a football city. What things did you learn on how the Bears and how the Panthers got here?
Man, Lawrence, I mean, it's such a loaded storyline, and obviously one that still needs to play out, particularly here at Halas Hall, as you figure out what direction this organization can go with the pieces they collected in that trade from March 10th, 2023. But you see the way the winds of fate can blow for you at times. And when you're able to capitalize on it, like Ryan Poles did a year and a half ago, you've got a chance to make significant progress in your building efforts. Now, listen, Caleb Williams has still got to become Caleb Williams. And we can't remove CJ Stroud from this conversation either. Even though it's a Bears-Panthers conversation, CJ Stroud's performance for the rest of his career is something that this trade will be judged by to some extent, because the Bears did have the option of drafting him at number one overall in 2023 if they chose to go down that route. But when you stop and reflect on how the Panthers went all in on one player who didn't even get through the third start of his second season, and in turn supplied the Bears with the number one, a proven player in DJ Moore to start with, and then a bunch of picks that they've turned into proven starters or a really high-level punter, you've got the makings of something that could be really special for a long time.
It really is fascinating. And after the bye, when the Bears go to Washington and play against Jaden Daniels, you'll get a whole nother opportunity to, are we going to end up adding Jaden Daniels to CJ Stroud's name in terms of caveats to the entire conversation, right?
I mean, it's going to be part of the conversation. I think we've been living it in an extreme way through the month of September. I think that obviously you get the knee-jerk reaction to a few games, and people start trying to to cast final verdicts on a decision that's going to take 3-4 years to fully judge. But that's part of the equation here. That's the landscape that we live in covering the NFL, and you just got to figure out a way to navigate it. And I think they're doing so well here at Halas Hall right now as they bring Caleb along.
What is your opinion, zoomed out, Dan, of Caleb Williams' progress so far? You wrote so much about Justin's, the way that they were teaching Justin, what he was learning, what he was not. You wrote about the long-form plan that the Bears had to teach Caleb. Where are you on how it's going so far?
I think it's going well, not maybe as great as you would hope at this point. And there's some things that need to be ironed out, including the chemistry with DJ Moore, and then certainly the, I guess, rapport with your play caller, so that you're on the same page week by week by week, and understanding that you've got a say in how you put together a plan that's going to put you in place to succeed in each given matchup. What I've seen from Caleb in the first month of the season is a guy who clearly is seeing the game a little bit quicker every time he takes the field, and reacting to what he sees quicker in ways that have created production. And I know we talk a lot this week about the checkdowns that he was able to hit against the Rams, and that being a very good learning experience for a young quarterback, particularly with a team that is capable of winning in that way with that formula. You just want to make sure that it doesn't create extreme caution where he falls into a trap of only protecting the football and not using some of his gifts he has to create some of the explosive plays. Over time, you want to see those two things married together, but they very clearly here have prioritized the smart play of the quarterback early on in his career and understanding ball security first and foremost.
As someone who's around this every day and been around DJ Moore for over a season now, how would you describe what's happened with him, and how should a Bears fan that's looking at his body language and saying, man, is DJ happy because we want him to be happy? How would you describe what's going on?
So, Lawrence, Studs and I had a conversation about this on the podcast, because I'm not ready to just say this is a non-issue. I think it's a keep an eye on issue, and it's a keep an eye on issue for the rest of October and into November. And my belief is that you have to try to keep a pulse on how DJ is handling his frustrations, how he's managing his patience. And it's got to be in a way that is productive for him individually, that is productive for his young quarterback who he's trying to create the chemistry with, and it's productive for the offense as a whole. It's not easy. I mean, this is a proven receiver in this league who has been through so many changes at the quarterback position. He's been forced to play with so many different guys and so many different experiences where people have told him just hang with us and we'll get there. And then the next thing you know, they're rebooting with somebody else. I get it. I understand why DJ is a little bit impatient and a little bit frustrated, but in the near future here, he's got to make sure that doesn't become a negative force, that it remains a positive force in the interactions that he has with Caleb as they sort of try to get on the same page. It was very obviously one very high profile example from last week's game where they didn't connect on what should have been a 22-yard touchdown. And you zoom in on that to see, okay, well, this is a veteran receiver and a young quarterback who aren't seeing the game in unison right now. And they've got to get on that page soon, because it's the only way that this offense is going to get unlocked to its full potential.
With all due respect to DJ Moore's tremendous career and his ability to get yards with the likes of Kyle Allen and PJ Walker and Sam Darnold in Carolina and then Justin and all of that, when he says, I guess we'll do it the Caleb way, damn right you will. From my perspective, I mean, yes, you are a tremendous receiver, an incredible vet, and you just got paid and you deserved it, but make your new quarterback comfortable. Use your veteran savvy to adjust to him. Do you agree with that, Dan?
Mostly. Where I would disagree slightly is there are certain rules that you have as a receiver, and the play that I was just mentioning last week there, you know, DJ is given no choice but to take an inside release on the play because of the way the corner jumped outside immediately upon the snap. But the thing that most receivers are taught in that situation against that look with the cover two shell look that the Rams are giving them is to get the width. As soon as you get your inside release and get inside, take it back outside, so you create a little bit more of a window for the quarterback to throw it toward the sideline and take the safety out of play. They weren't on the same page on that, obviously. in order to do it the Caleb way, you got to understand what the Caleb way is. And they had a mistake there that where then Caleb went to him on the bench and said, well, this is how I would prefer to throw that. Okay, well, the next time I'm going to do that. But in meeting you there, you have to understand that I'm breaking habits of rules that I've been taught for 5 years in the league in two different organizations on what I normally do to react in the situation. So Speaks, I think the one thing for me is you just want to make sure that as this is being ironed out by the player, the two players in this situation, that the coaching staff has some say in it as well. And they're not just coddling everything to how Caleb wants it. If there are certain things that it's like, look, like in this situation, this is what the rules normally dictate. And so let's try to also give a little bit at certain times to your veterans as well, who have been doing things a certain way for a long time.
All right. Well, that's fair. And that sounds like one of the many things that requires a lot of communication,
yes,
a lot of talking and a good, healthy
and experience.
Yeah. And a good, healthy atmosphere. Do you think that atmosphere exists within the offensive coaching staff of all the kinds of communicating that needs to happen and the coaching, the leaders and the coaches coaching the coach, like all of that needs to happen? Do you think we've got a good atmosphere for it at this point?
I don't know. I think that they successfully went through the troubleshooting process last week in a way that created a winning formula against the Rams. Well, now you've got to continue down that path, and you can't just veer off that road and fall back into the old traps of getting inconsistent offensively, not knowing what your identity is, getting too cute at times, not knowing the plays that are going to get you 1 yard. I want to see how Shane responds from the Rams win, and if he's able to do so as successfully as he did coming off the Colts loss. And so this will be a case study here, a good winnable game against a beaten up defense on Sunday against Carolina. And then obviously they'll go on the road to London and play the Jaguars. So let's take a look at these next two games against opponents that they should beat and see how they're able to handle it.
Plantar fasciitis is not fun, and it's really not fun in football cleats. It's terrible. That being said, how worried should a Bears fan be about Keenan Allen?
I've been concerned about this since this popped up in August. And the only way to get unconcerned about this is to see Keenan Allen have 200-yard games and not be on the practice report for a month and a half. You know, and on the plus side, he's not listed on the injury report here in Week 5. He wasn't limited in practice this week. He doesn't have a designation for the game. That's a positive development here. Now let's go turn that availability into production, and then let's turn that production into sustained production. And until you get that, you're constantly going to be a little bit fearful that, it flared up again. We got on the plane, we went to London, we practiced a couple times, and all of a sudden it's not feeling well again. I'm in my 30s. I'm not able to manage it as well as I might've been able to 5 years ago. So this is all a keep an eye on thing where again, the concern level can only be reduced through the actual on-field production that Keenan has. And to this point, through the first month of the season, there hasn't been a whole lot of that.
Matt Bowen said to us that the Panthers offense has now risen to a level of competency.
Yeah.
With Andy Dalton being their quarterback. I do believe that that's accurate. I also think that there's still a ceiling. And yes, once defensive coaches get back to looking at Andy Dalton tape, they go, oh, yeah, he's Andy Dalton. We've got our plan ready to go. How can the Bears avoid being embarrassed by him this weekend?
So this is kind of how I've described it throughout the week is Andy's obviously reached a stage in this league where he's not going to beat himself. But I don't know that he's capable of beating you either, right? And so the Bears have more playmakers on the defensive side of the ball than Andy Dalton has in his huddle, or Andy Dalton is himself, you know? And so this should be a game that the Bears are able to play on their terms. It's not going to be a four interception game. Andy's too smart to get tricked by disguised looks or make errant throws when he shouldn't, but you should be able to, again, play this game on your terms, and it's create some pressure. Start, if you can, by limiting their running game. Now, the running game since the switch at quarterback from Bryce Young to Andy Dalton has been really good in Carolina. And Chuba Hubbard's coming off back-to-back 100-yard outings, and the offensive line is playing with the type of identity that you'd like to see the Bears' offensive line get sooner rather than later. If you can sort of make them one-dimensional and then just turn Andy into a game manager and then hope your offense can really put some points on the board against a poor and injury-depleted Panthers defense, this should be a game that It should be a no anxiety game, to be honest, guys. I mean, this should be a game that you win in convincing fashion, and you don't have that fourth quarter sweat dripping down your brow because you're so fearful of how it could slip away.
Oh, no anxiety game sounds good, man.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's possible. But you know, it's interesting. What are the issues for this Bears defense as it stands right now? We've spent so little time dissecting them. What do you think have been problems for this Bears defense?
Yeah, well, look, like they've dropped down into the bottom half of the league in stopping the run after being the league's best rush defense last year. And so you've got to figure out a way. You've faced a couple of really good backs the last couple of weeks in Jonathan Taylor and Kyren Williams. You just got to get that nasty edge up front of stopping the run and doing so in a way that, you know, again, puts teams into third and medium, third and long more often than not. I don't know. Like, the one thing that I've loved about this defense is the mentality they've had from the first day they got to training camp. And it really showed off Sunday against the Rams, where you had a lead in the fourth quarter. And not only did they go out on the field, they went out on the field with that closer mentality. It's like, you know, play our intro music. Let us go out there. We don't know who's going to make the play yet, but we know someone's going to. And then when Torrey Taylor complements that with a couple of punts inside the 10-yard line, and then you give that defense a little added juice when they take the field, you just knew that they were gonna slam that door shut. Even though it was Matthew Stafford and a guy who's led a ton of magical fourth quarter comeback drives, the Bears defense took the field understanding that they were about to win the football game. And that mentality, to me, speaks, has been super impressive and something that you hope persists through the entire season.
I totally agree. This feels like a second half defense. They make adjustments as a coaching staff. Think Eberflus and Washington get more aggressive in the second half, sending blitzers from different spots. You know, the whole secondary gets this swagger going of making plays. That bodes well if the offense can just be functional, frankly.
Wouldn't it be great? You know, because you do now. Listen, like, you've got a team now that can win games with its defense. You got a team now that can win games with its special teams. Now the next two pieces of the puzzle are, can your quarterback win you football games late in the game when he's got the ball in his hands and he's got to produce a game when he's scoring? Can your coaching staff do the things within the game management of a game to win you games as well? Whether that's, you know, coming up with a play that works, a strategy that works, or just managing timeouts and knowing when to go for two and when to go for one, you know, and just being very clean in that regard. Trending in the right direction. And I think we all agree that this schedule here up through the first part of November is really, really, really friendly. And you know, it starts here again with a game against Carolina that I said there's no layups in the NFL, but this is about as lightly contested of a 10-foot jumper as you're going to find in the NFL. And then you go to you play Jacksonville in London, and you come back and you've got Washington, which will be an interesting game. And then Arizona and New England. Like, there's nothing on that stretch of the schedule that is imposing. And so now, build some momentum, create your relevance, and then get into November understanding that you can be a team that's very, very much alive in the playoff hunt.
You're a good person to ask this question because of how long you've covered the league and how much time you've spent in locker rooms. The NFLPA is proposing changes to locker room access and protocol. How do you feel about this?
We could do a whole segment on this, Lawrence, because I am in the minority amongst my media brethren in not feeling a lot of my own backlash to the suggestions. What I would say is this, that like the open locker room setting, I understand why it's uncomfortable for players. It's uncomfortable for media members at times, but the whole point of it is the access and the availability to speak with players and create relationships and be able to do your job in a way that's beneficial. And so if you were able to propose to me some solutions that would make that happen, which I think there are some very ready-made possibilities on how to do that, then I'm all for giving the players a little bit of say in this matter and saying, hey, let's do the interviews. Like where I'm sitting right now, a giant midway here at the PNC Center at Hallis Hall, there's plenty of room here, which we do during training camp, to do interviews when we're not letting the locker room. It just requires the players to be available for them. And so what happens here is if you're not allowed in the locker room, then guys can just sneak away and hide. And it puts a lot of responsibility and a lot of weight on the team's PR staff to be able to, build that bridge, you know, and create those connections in a way that's pretty cumbersome. And it takes a lot of work to make sure that a player makes his way down from the locker room all the way here to the midway and does his obligated interviews with the media. But I think there's a way to get it done if all parties are sort of solution oriented and not combative in the way they come at things.
I'm with you on this. I there's a part of me that wishes that and I think that we're at a place where it can physically be done. They should be following like the playoff championship models. And I know that the asking teams to do this every week is a little difficult, but I think it would make things more comfortable where you're going to say, okay, the media can request certain guys to come out and talk, but we're going to have some of the standards set up and we're going to have spaces for the guys to speak where you say, okay, you need to talk with Rome. Rome is going to be over here in the same amount of time we would have like open locker room, and he's going to be there. If you can set it up that way in the playoffs in the Super Bowl, you can do something on a smaller scale, I think, in the regular season.
It requires carving out time for it. And that's something that that coaches in their controlling ways don't want to do. And over my time in the league, they've taken great liberties with the policy that says that the locker room's got to be open for 45 minutes. Well, locker room's supposed to be open for 45 minutes with guys available in it. There's a lot of days where the locker room's open for 45 minutes, but guys are only in there for 12, you know, and so you don't have a whole lot of opportunity to get what the entire structure of the open locker room is designed to do. You just have to designate a time that says, hey guys, like you don't have treatment during this time. You can't go in the players' lounge and play, you know, college football on the Xbox or whatever. I don't even know what the gaming system is now. Like this 45 minutes, like, you know, half of you are going to be available for the first 25, half of you are going to be available for the last 20. And you just have to understand that's part of your daily routine. But again, that puts a lot of responsibility on a lot of people inside the building to make that happen. Where the open locker room setting, the whole point of it is it's a little less formal, and it allows, you know, guys to come and go as they wish and don't have to subscribe to that. But if you can make it happen the other way, sign me up. I'm all for it. I don't need to be in a locker room just to say that I'm inside a locker room.
I would miss the random bits of accidental nudity myself.
That's honestly what the players are fighting against.
I know it is.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, they're fighting against their privacy being violated.
Yes.
Like that. And I understand. How many offensive linemen butts do you need to get exposed? I do understand. But the way you guys are talking about sheds light on what needs to happen. A lot more activity from the PR staff, a set out plan, a level of cooperation from the players that just doesn't take advantage of new protocols. And that's asking a lot of humans to do some new things. Yeah. Well,
no, it's a heavier lift, Speaks. No doubt it's a heavier lift. And I would say this, that I don't think there's any way to get around an open locker room after a football game on a Sunday.
Agree.
You know, I think that I think that's kind of non-negotiable because guys are, you know, getting showered, getting dressed and getting the hell out of the stadium as soon as humanly possible. And so I just don't know how you could manage that properly in a way where you'd still be able to get the same types of stuff that you need to get out of a post-game locker room.
Well, Weeds, we appreciate you shedding some light on this. Thanks so much for all the work that you do, and good luck on managing the London trip after this game is all done.
Yeah, off we go. It's good to talk to you guys. I haven't talked to you guys in a while because of Cubs games and different schedules. It's good to hear you guys together. Good show so far, and thanks for having me on today.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. Does an excellent job over there of covering the Bears and the Take the North podcast, which you can hear on Odyssey platforms with our guy Studs being a big part of that. That's a good thing.
So last night, Lawrence, there's a sporting event and just a vibe that is very difficult to replicate, where every moment feels like incredibly high drama and high tension. I want to talk about it with you, and we'll play people some versions of highlights that I'm sure they haven't heard, which really will put it into focus. We'll do that next. Olin Kreutz coming up at 4 o'clock right here on Spiegel & Holmes on The Score. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Spiegel & Holmes, afternoons on The Score. And the pitch. And that one hit on a bounce. Yeah. Throw to first. Out! And it's a double play. And it's over. It's over. A double play to end the game. And the Mets are moving on to Philadelphia.
There's nothing like playoff baseball, man. There's nothing like that feel, that tension where every pitch matters. I loved that in the bottom of the ninth, the Brewers got a base runner right away in a two-run game, and it immediately meant that every pitch had that renewed tension of the game could pivot at any time.
And you could see it. I know I saw it in my timeline from all of my Mets people. You could see them just go, oh, no, this is the beginning of the end. I mean, it wasn't. Everything was fine.
Yeah,
you're punching the air if you're a Brewers fan. Because of that, you're also punching the air because your final out, you got sent to playoff oblivion by two Cubs announcers.
Oh, yeah, you did. With Boog and Doug Glanville doing their thing right there.
I got a good chuckle out of that last night. I really did.
Well, Milwaukee had that coming.
Oh, and by the way, so like yesterday, Nico was on the show, right?
Yeah.
And I asked him, like, who was he rooting for? And he's like, he's basically like, you know who I'm rooting for. Tonight, you know who.
The Mets. So the Herb Spiegel rule was always you root for the team that knocked out your team because it makes you look better, makes your team look better. If the team that knocked you out goes further, then you can feel better about yourself.
Not when they beat you by 10 games.
And when they become the industry standard in your own division.
Not when they're used as a cudgel to talk about how bad right. your franchise is in comparison
That's
to theirs.
Fair. That's fair. All right, so we can swim in some Brewers misery. You're going to hear some radio calls here because they've been circulating a little bit around the internet, certainly around our group thread as we've been listening. The great Bob Uecker. How old's Uke? 93? Something like that? He's in his 90s. Dude still sounds great. And you got to think that he thought he was going to have a deeper run than this. Here's Uke calling the home run. Devin Williams with two men on and a two-run lead to Pete Alonso.
Alonso stepping out momentarily. Now back in there. Williams, three balls on a strike. And the pitch. Hit in the air to right, deep, warning track, and gone. Peter Alonso just put New York on top in this one with a three-run home run to right field. And just like that, a 2-0 lead is now a 3-2 deficit.
Oh, it's the saddest, most resigned form of professionalism there from Bob Uecker.
Correct. Because you can hear it. Like, you can hear, it's like, oh, just, oh, this is not the way that we thought this was going to go.
Devin Williams, man, they safely got to the airbender.
What was it, two home runs he's given up all year?
They think he might have been tipping pitches because he immediately gave up two more hits after the home run, getting in trouble.
He had it high, and then like, oh, you're holding it down there. Huh.
God, it's brutal.
Major league hitters are really, really good.
Here is the Spanish radio call. Is this the New York Spanish radio call? I didn't know if we were listening to Milwaukee Spanish sadness or New York Spanish happiness. All right, it's 92.
I saw Milwaukee Spanish sadness last weekend.
Salt Shed?
Oh, yeah. So good.
Named after a Cool in the Gang track. A really good one.
That's a really good. I mean, I agree. I'm hoping that they'll come back. I missed them the last time they were here.
This from 92.3 FM, Max Perez Jimenez and Nestor Rosario.
Ya se prepara. Viene el lanzamiento. Batazo grande, elevado por la parte derecha. La bola va atrás. Sigue atrás. Lleva color. Lleva sabor. Home run. Hasta la vista, baby. 3-2 se ha puesto el partido.
Oh, my God.
Los Mex están arriba. Rebelión de última hora. De los New York Mex.
That was amazing.
That's a really great call.
That was a great call. It had some
poetry in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, that was delightful.
How about that? Him coming through in the last hour. Let's go.
Oh, my God, that's incredible. The From Odyssey, New York, and 880 WCBS, Howie Rose, the lifelong New York Mets fan. Dude in his 70s. Great guest on the PBP from last year, by the way. But Howie Rose, he can give you chapter and verse on every season of New York Mets history. So he sounds like a fan and did this call like nobody else would.
The outfield is very deep and straight away. Lindor will take a short walk down the line from third, even though Ortiz is deep. Nimmo leads from first. 3-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Frelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. He is first congratulated by Nimmo. Hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career. 3-2 New York.
My goodness.
That feels good.
Imagine if you're like working on your car in Yonkers, you know? Or you're like sitting on a backyard in Queens or listening on the MLB at Bat app as a Mets fan in LA, like I know a good friend of mine was. You're feeling that and all the detail in the description there, man. That's exquisite.
To be able to hold in what is clearly a reaction of joy, to make sure that you get the call right, that you understand the situation, you're letting people in. I think it's such an excellent call by him. And all of it, like when we were talking about in transition, if you just joined us, hi, Spiegel and Holmes show. When we were talking with Marshall about this, the fact that those guys wanted to hear Howie Rose's call.
Oh my God.
It's so like that's what dreams are made of when you decide to hitch your wagon to being a sports broadcaster. And not only do you end up with a team, you end up with your team.
You end up with your team. It's a short list. Dan Shulman grew up a Blue Jays fan. He does Blue Jays games. John Rooney grew up in suburban Missouri. He's now doing Cardinals games. Okay? This is a very small list of people who've
got... Jason Benetti grew up a White Sox fan. He's doing the White Sox games.
Not anymore.
What?
Tanny?
No, he's Tanny. Not? Look, I know that a lot of people probably weren't paying attention
you're
to
exactly
the White
right.
Sox.
Tanny, you're exactly right.
But he is no longer the voice of the White Sox.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, now he's actually the voice of the Detroit Tigers, which is the team that Robbie cheers for.
He said he's a Detroiter now, so I don't know what you're talking about. He's...
For the record, he didn't say that. They told him that. I don't think he believes that.
It's a very short list, and Benetti was on it, and off he goes. But yeah, Howie, I mean, Phil, that's as close as you get to rounding the bases as a ball player when you're a broadcaster. Is that moment that Howie got on the plane? Absolutely amazing.
Can we go back to the pain for a second?
Yeah, we need more pain.
Let's
especially because it's the Brewers.
Let's go back to a little bit of the pain here because you really feel it. And this is what I think is great broadcasting too. Uecker is going to make you feel that pain of this loss.
Tying run at the plate. 4-2 New York. The pitch. A double play ball hit to Lindor and the throw is going to wind up with a double play. And the New York Mets, after coming from behind with a big 4-run ninth inning rally, overcome that 3-run deficit. Wow.
Like everybody that is walking out of this ballpark is absolutely in shock of what took place in that ninth inning.
Well, New York down, they did it, and the crew will have it end here tonight.
Really a crushing end to what was a fabulous season for the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it. Milwaukee Brewers baseball has been brought to you in part by Sitco.
Oh, Danny, thank you for including the transition to the sponsorship.
Well, I mean, that felt like a major league. Like, that felt like Bob Uecker at Major League there.
Post-game show is brought to you by... Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.
Oh, it's so sad.
Can I just say also... Francisco Lindor.
Well, let me give you one more thing about Uecker real quick.
Sure.
Uecker's on that list of hometown fans who are broadcasters. Bob Uecker grew up in Milwaukee. Bob Uecker watched the minor league Milwaukee Brewers when he was growing up. And after playing for the Brewers in the 60s, he ends up being their broadcaster since 1971. It's 53 years as the broadcaster for his hometown team. That informs the emotion that you have been hearing in those calls.
Well, I also enjoy the emotion of Lindor. I found him to be baseball joy. Watching the way his teammates react to him, how Mets fans react to him.
He's awesome.
It was really great to see that. Baseball's been baseballing, man, and it's been awesome.
Well, that they needed, baseball needed that game. Everything else was a sweep, and you had the Padres fans in San Diego were awesome. Otherwise, the home Orioles fans were sad. Home Astros fans were sad. Last night, you had explosive home Brewers fans and then a loss. And then today, a day off for everybody because they gave a day off for after the wild card series, no matter what. And then things resume tomorrow. National League Final Four is unbelievable. Padres, Dodgers, let's go. Phillies, Mets, let's go. Padres to win it all. Holding on to that.
That's a good ticket that you got. When we come back, as the Bears get ready to take on Carolina, what do the Panthers see when they look at Caleb Williams? One of their defensive stars talked about that. We'll share with you and discuss next here on The Score.
He was fantastic. You know, he was clearly just a fantastic quarterback in college and made plays off schedule, made fantastic throws off platform. You see all the talent there, you know, and I think I hope it's not this week, but I think it's just a matter of time before he finds his rhythm with a bunch of those skill players he has.
Panthers head coach Dave Canales and Petey Pablo, because the Carolina Panthers are going to be in town. Taking on your Bears, their offense is now competent because Andy Dalton is at the helm for the Panthers. What about on the flip side, though? I found myself going down the rabbit hole as we're getting ready to talk about this game of looking at broadcasting from the Carolina Panthers. And I had forgotten for a second that my friend Kristen Balboni does a lot of their in-house media. So it was cool to see her, see KB doing her thing. And I stumbled across this, and I wanted to play it for you, Speaks, and get your thoughts on it.
Please, please, because there are some players of consequence there that we haven't touched on yet.
Jadeveon Clowney was asked about Caleb Williams, and there's a good like 90 seconds or so of him reacting to it, and I think all of it is interesting. Here it is.
The rookie quarterback, still trying to make great decisions with the ball, move well in the pocket, athletic in the pocket. We got to do a good job containing him and trying to, you know, just get out there in the pass rush.
Is there a set rule that you live by in terms of a vet when you see a rookie quarterback? Like, if I do these things, this kid is in trouble.
I feel like as a D-line, that's a set for us to get to him. That's the only thing I'm thinking is about, get to him and try to make him calls. If you watch the games, if you get to him, get pressure on him, he do throw the ball all over the field, just throw it up for grabs. So hopefully we can put some pressure on him to give him throws one, a few turnovers.
That's the advantage of going against a rookie. What are the challenges that somebody like that presents, especially this early in the season?
Oh, man, he can run the ball. That's a challenge when you got an extra run at quarterback and he can throw it. That's the biggest challenge of the game, I think. Knowing, like, trying to figure out when he going to run or zone read or when he going to run out of pocket, move the pocket, anything with him moving with the ball in his hand, it's going to be a problem if we don't contain the guy. He can make any play with his legs, and we just got to do a good job of playing team football and up front, we got to just do a good job of rushing as a unit.
What's the key to an effective pass rush?
The key is, to me, it's all four people standing in their lanes and everybody rushing as one. Like I said, it's like folding the book, closing the book on the guy. One person don't do that job, he can escape up the B gap or anything, and you really don't want him running out that B gap because, like I said, he can make a lot of plays with his legs. And so we got to be rush accordingly and don't run past the quarterback in the rush game and opening up the lanes for him just to create more plays with his legs.
So that last part is something that NFL defenses have been talking about for the last couple of weeks when it comes to Caleb.
Mark Sanchez said exactly that, to contain and not let him get outside the pocket. And Jadeveon referred to it as staying in our lanes, closing the book on the guy.
Closing the book and not running past him, too.
What did Sanchez say? He said it a different way that I had not... Had not remembered with Midday's show. Robbie, get on that. Whatever Sanchez said that I'm thinking about that I'm not really giving you enough particulars on, you go digging for that and find it.
Sanchez and
he was talking about not. He didn't use the word contain. He was like, you know, maintain, not manipulate. I don't know. Get on it, Robbie.
I do think that. And the texter actually reacted to this. The texter saying Caleb really isn't known as a running quarterback, is he? Right. And I do think that was a little bit overstated by Clowney.
It was a little general.
But I do think at the end of that bite where he's talking about him escaping through the B gap and then being able to make plays down the field with his arm, that's where I do think you have to fear Caleb.
Oh, 100%. There was a moment in the Chiefs-Bengals games a few weeks back where Tony Romo said, all right, big play for Mahomes, and he took out the telestrator, and he's like, what you got to do is keep him in the pocket. What you can't do is give him an opening, or else he's going to come up here, and then he's going to move over there, and then he's going to make a throw and kill you. And then Pat Mahomes did exactly that. And it's like, that's the stuff that Caleb is getting is good at that he will execute if you give him a lane and some space to move around, and that's what teams are trying not to do.
When you start to break down the concept of Caleb Williams checking it down and us talking about the responsible nature of that is growth and development, I agree with what Matt Bowen said, and I agree with what Dan Weederer said, where you don't want that to turn into, oh, I'll just always look for the safe play. No, because of his creativity, specifically out of the pocket, you do want him to, you want him to understand that he doesn't have to do it alone. But you also want to say, hey, Caleb, we drafted you because you can kind of do cool stuff. Don't be afraid to do cool stuff.
Yeah.
You're not just a paint by numbers quarterback. You're allowed, like,
Do the special. Be the special.
Wani said yesterday that he would like two deep shots per half on Sunday for Caleb to loosen up Carolina's defense, to put a little fear in them too, because his touch can be great. But that stat that Bowen gave us.
Oh, about down the field. Was it 5 of 29 right now?
Air yards of 15 or more for Caleb Williams so far this year. He is 5 for 29.
Yeah, I referenced it in transition. It's scary right now. The thing is, like, Caleb can be the special, you know, but it doesn't have to be necessarily on, like, big downfield plays. Like, Mahomes does it, too. Like, sometimes it's just, you know, creating and buying time.
A chain mover.
Yeah, big-time chain mover that you created with your brand of the special. Robbie, any luck so far with the Sanchez?
I'm sorry. No,
wow.
I'm sorry.
Just humoring me. Just disrespect, not really honoring a request. I'm salty at you, and not just because you beat me at Tecmo Super Bowl.
That's something that we do need to discuss a little bit later on, because now that we've got the Super NES set up in our office.
He just gave me the L. He just put up a big L right there.
Yeah!
It's ridiculous.
Well, I've been playing my whole life.
That's the
oh wait, that was
part.
My first time.
It's the Super NES. That's the problem. I'm better on the regular NES.
I think we have it because we've got like 330 games on it.
I love it.
And his game is NBA Jam.
Robbie's game? That's trouble. Yeah, he had never played before. And he still beat me in a half, and I threw down the controller in anger and said, it's time for the meeting.
Yeah, you throw down the sticks, you automatically lose. That's video gaming 101.
Yeah, we got to go to work. It's like, no, we don't.
No, not really. Like, right. We had the show done. We knew what we were going to do.
Well, thanks, Robbie. I'll do my own research about the Mark Sanchez stuff that I'm looking for. So thanks, Andy. Thanks for nothing.
I like that you added in the typing. Like that to me is key. That you were really trying
and searching. Yes.
And searching for it. The audio of it is really, really
good. Do you have
any
other requests I can get on that?
Clearly.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
He's thinking of the requests before we get them. Mm. Olin Kreutz is going to join us. Can't wait to talk with O. We'll find out what he thinks is important and what it means that Andy Dalton will be playing against this Bears defense. That's next. Don't go anywhere. Spiegel and Holmes with you on the Score.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.